Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Monday, October 16th, 2017. Iraqi forces are pushing into Kurdish-held Kirkuk. Then I'll have your stock market report and saint of the day. Napa residents are arriving home, some to everything and some to nothing. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has entered his plea in charges of desertion. We'll have a brief update on the Louisiana oil rig explosion. And is the Blessed Virgin Mary appearing in India? The Washington Times is reporting that Iraqi forces have pushed into Kurdish-controlled Kirkuk in response to the Kurds having voted to declare independence in September. The Kurdish Peshmerga fighters withdrew from the city as Iraqi forces moved in and seized the state-owned North Oil Company and other infrastructure, including a K-1 airbase. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi instructed civil servants to remain at their posts defending the takeover, saying, quote, "We have only acted to fulfill our constitutional duty and extend the federal authority and impose security and protect the national wealth in this city." Many civilians were packing their belongings and heading north along country roads leading to Iraq's autonomous Kurdish region. Kirkuk is comprised of various groups of people such as Arabs, Kurds, Turkmen, and Christians. Brigadier General Bazad Ahmed, speaking for the Kurdish forces, said that clashes with Iraqi forces south of Kirkuk resulted in, quote, "lots of casualties," and that houses were burnt down. Iraqi militia spokesman Ahmed al-Assadi said that they had, quote, "achieved all our goals" by retaking Kurdish-held areas and infrastructure. Russia Times reports that the Peshmerga General Command issued a statement which said that the attacks by Iraq are a, quote, "flagrant declaration of war against the nation of Kurdistan." They are warning that Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi will pay, quote, "a heavy price" for instigating the takeover. The statement also called the federal action retaliation against the right of the people to vote on their fate. Unrelated to these actions, but very interesting news from this region, Iraqi news reported today that 800 ISIS militants turned themselves into the Kurdish Peshmerga forces in Kirkuk after fleeing Hawija. 30 ISIS leaders were among them. Iraq had claimed the liberation of Hawija earlier this month, but last week, Hawija council member Ahmed Khorsid recommended that Iraqi troops comb the city as well as other nearby villages for ISIS fighters in hiding in underground tunnels or remote regions. It was not revealed to where the surrendered were transferred. And now it's time for your stock market report. But first, courtesy of CNBC, here is Credit Suisse senior advisor Bob Parker on what the Iraqi-Kurdish tensions may portend for the oil market.
The Iraqi government is cash poor for all the obvious reasons. So consequently, gaining control of these northern oil fields, therefore, you know, improves their ability to control the cash generated from those oil fields.
Or maybe not, because of the security situation could worsen.
It doesn't look as though that actually is the case at today. And obviously, that could be a very different story over the coming weeks. I think just the other point, of course, is that, as you rightly say, Turkey is vehemently against Kurdish independence and, as a result, have actually controlled or have stopped the export of Kurdish oil through the pipelines in Turkey. So if you actually look at the market response to this news, which is to push oil prices higher on the expectation that oil supplies will be reduced, the answer is that's incorrect. And if anything, you might actually see more control by the Iraqis of these northern oil fields, and therefore their objective is very clear, which is to increase production from those fields and, you know, obviously for them to obtain the cash flow from those fields. Mm.
The stock market was poised to open in the green this morning due to expectations of many positive third-quarter earnings reports this week. Of the 32 S&P 500 companies which have reported their earnings already, 84.4% of them have reported greater gains than expected. Another 55 are expected to report this week. Sadly, Netflix shares were up 1.2% and hit a record high last Friday. CNBC reports that Colony Capital is investing in the Weinstein Company, co-founded by disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein, and the company is negotiating with Colony about possibly selling the entire company or a significant portion of its interests. Colony Capital head Tom Barrack said, quote, "We will return the company to its rightful and iconic position in the independent film and television industry." Now let's grab the latest figures from Wall Street. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 31 points and as of right now is up 35 points at 22,906. The Nasdaq last closed up 14 points and as of right now is up 5 points at 6,611. The S&P 500 last closed up 2 points and as of right now is up a point at 2,554. Crude oil is up 45 cents at $51.90 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed up 101 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 218. The London FTSE 100 closed down 8 and the DAX in Germany closed up 16. Today's quote of the day comes from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. It is attachment to creatures and to self-satisfaction that weakens the blessings of love in your heart. You must die to all that if you wish the pure love of God to reign therein. Coming up next in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, when I was a kid, being called a bookworm was an insult of the highest order. Today, people want to be called bookworm to solve the world's political problems. At the Founders Trading Post, we have the books you need to help solve the world's problems and save your soul, too. From Humility of Heart to Patrick Henry, American Statesman, get started on your bookworm bona fides today by browsing to mikechurch.com/books. Most of our books are also signed by the authors. Shop like a Jeopardy champion today at mikechurch.com. /books or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Born in 1647 in the Burgundy region of France, Margaret Mary was a child given to silence and religious devotion more so than to the typical childhood amusements of her day. She practiced extreme bodily mortification and was bedbound from rheumatic fever for 4 years. At the end of this time, she made a vow to the Blessed Virgin Mary that she would consecrate herself to religious life, and she was healed immediately. Years later, on her mother's insistence and assuming her childhood vow did not count, she entered into society, presumably looking for a suitable husband. Upon returning home from a ball one night, she was given a vision of Christ, bloody and scourged, and he reproached her for having forgotten her vow. But he reassured her also of his love for her because of that very vow. She entered the Visitation Convent at Paray-le-Monial at the age of 24. In the convent, she was described as humble, simple, frank, kind and patient. She received private revelations of the Sacred Heart between 1673 and 1675. Our Lord asked of her to spread the Sacred Heart devotion, complete with reception of Holy Communion on the first Friday of each month, Thursday evening Eucharistic adoration with meditation on Jesus' agony in the garden, and the celebration of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. During the last vision, on the Feast of St. John, St. Margaret Mary was permitted to rest her head on Jesus' breast. The Sacred Heart devotion was difficult to spread, and she found little support until she encountered the Jesuit priest, St. Claude de la Colombière. St. Margaret Mary died in 1690, and her body remains incorrupt in the Chapel of Apparitions at the Visitation Monastery. St. Margaret Mary, pray for us. The Associated Press reports that Napa residents are being given the okay to return back to their properties. Here are Christina Schott and Jack Daniels speaking to the Associated Press back at their now destroyed homes.
It's gone. It's gone. It's completely gone. Oh, look at those. See that there? That's my slate flooring. It was really magical. Everybody looked coming skating outside with all the shrubbery. I hope I can save those oaks. You know, in this time of year, late September, all of October, November, we all sweat bullets at this time of year because it becomes really dry. We haven't had rain since probably about April. And as soon as you see a northeasterly wind kick up, that's when you know it's kind of a Santa Ana condition. Then the winds came up, the fire was like a fire tsunami. It was like a fireball. The winds were so fierce, so fierce.
This was my side of the garage, my wife's car, a new BMW. doesn't look like much now. The insurance company said, can we come and pick it up? And I said, I don't know why you want to. So there's very little time. I ran in, grabbed our grandson who was staying with us, 7 years old, my wife and our two pug dogs, threw them in my car and we backed out. And as we backed out, the house just went up in flames. So we were very fortunate to get out. And that was the TV, if you'll take a look at that there.
CBS San Francisco Bay Area spoke with Bill and Janice Mathis.
This Silverado neighborhood in Napa is where the Atlas Fire burned down more than 100 homes. Two people were killed here.
It was a full three-bedroom, three-bath.
Bill and Janice Mathis made it out, but their house is gone.
In this moment, I'm realizing you don't put your boots on and your gloves on and go sift through stuff. There's nothing to sift through.
Some residents, however, are coming home to a different picture.
On the south side of the Atlas Fire, it's a completely different story. This is Green Valley in unincorporated Solano County near Fairfield.
Now that everyone's home, we couldn't be happier.
There is jubilation tonight as the neighborhood celebrates the fact that they dodged a big flaming bullet.
We really thought we were 50-50 at best.
And now seeing your house?
It's amazing.
Joe Trippi and his family are back home.
It's been a crazy week. We were one of the first ones that were evacuated. We left on Monday. And then we just were allowed to get back in.
And now that you're back in?
Oh, it's amazing. You have like a peace. You really do. You have a peace because, you know, there was a time where we thought that this area was not going to make it.
ABC News reports that Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has pled guilty today in front of a military judge at Fort Bragg in North Carolina to charges of desertion with intention to shirk duty and misbehavior before the enemy. In 2009, Bergdahl went missing from his Army outpost in Afghanistan and was captured and held prisoner by the Taliban for nearly 5 years. His release was negotiated by President Barack Obama in 2014 as a prisoner exchange in which five Taliban prisoners at Guantanamo Bay were released to Qatar. An investigation into his disappearance was conducted, and he was formally charged in 2015. Bergdahl had claimed that he had lost confidence in his leadership at combat outpost Mest Malik in Paktika province, Afghanistan, and that when he left, he was heading to another base to report his concerns. He said he realized his mistake 20 minutes after leaving his post. Bergdahl voiced concern in an interview obtained by ABC News that he will not receive a fair trial due to statements by then-presidential candidate Donald Trump calling him a, quote, dirty, rotten traitor and a bum. The charge of desertion carries a 5-year prison sentence, and the charge of misbehavior before the enemy, essentially endangering those soldiers who were sent out in search of him, carries a sentence of life in prison. Free Beacon reports that the Army will now hold a hearing to decide what punishment will be meted out to Sergeant Bergdahl. Here, courtesy of Reuters, is a brief update on the Louisiana oil rig explosion that we reported on earlier.
Several workers were injured and one is missing. Authorities say the explosion was apparently caused when cleaning chemicals ignited on the surface of the platform operated by Clovelly Oil Company. The U.S. Coast Guard and local authorities are using boats and a helicopter to search for the missing worker. Some of the injured suffered severe burns and were taken to the hospital. Authorities say oil could be leaking into the lake, but added it will not affect drinking water because it's pulled from the Mississippi River. The Coast Guard says it will conduct water quality tests as a precaution.
And lastly, Catholic News Agency is reporting that Hindu and Catholic school children are reportedly receiving apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the St. Ambrose Church and Lower Primary School in the city of Edavanakad, located in the southwestern state of Kerala in India. St. Ambrose assistant pastor Father Merton De Silva said that authorities are taking a wait-and-see approach to the alleged apparitions, which have said to occur with the scent of jasmine. On September 28, a Hindu schoolgirl named Krishna Veda went to the church to pray for an ear ailment, and she placed some holy water on her ear. She claimed that the holy water effected an immediate improvement in her condition. Other children then went to pray at the church, and they say they saw an apparition of the scourged Christ in the sky. Calling upon Jesus' name, they went into the church to offer prayers of thanksgiving for the girl's healing. The one Catholic student among them, Ambrosia, led the students in praying the rosary. A teacher would join them to assist them in saying this rosary, during which the children said the Virgin Mary appeared standing under the altar, accompanied by the scent of jasmine. The supposed apparition asked the children to come closer and then followed them out of the church. The teacher alerted the other teachers to the event, and the children went and told Father De Silva, who took them back to the church to pray the rosary again. Again, the children claimed to see her under the altar, and she promised the children that she would help them with their studies, they would receive the Holy Spirit, and that she would take them to heaven. The adults present saw nothing. On October 3rd, a crowd was praying the rosary in the church with the same children. Everyone present detected the scent of jasmine, and the children claimed to see the Blessed Virgin again. When the priest asked them to point to the spot where they saw her, they pointed, and the congregation saw a bright light in the spot. The priest claimed that he felt his head patted by someone. The gift of contrition was claimed to have been received by many in the congregation. In this Celestial Musings, last week I took my daughter to get her driver's license, our first licensed child, and we were faced with that little box to tick asking her whether she wants to be an organ donor or not. As her mother, I encouraged her to do her research before ticking that little box, and she told me she already had. Yesterday evening, I came across an article from the BBC which explained that the organ donation system in England is moving from an opt-in system like we have here to an opt-out system. This means that unless you specifically ask to not be an organ donor, you are automatically presumed to have given your consent for organ donation. They are hoping this will increase the numbers of organs available for people on organ waiting lists. I understand the sentiment behind this change, but really I think it is a bad idea to presume consent for organ donation. Furthermore, just as with any medical procedure one goes through, one should have to sign an informed consent document, which lists the dangers of organ donation, most especially the inexact science of declaring brain death, and that in the event you are wrongfully declared brain dead, you will have your organs cut from you without anesthesia. Have we not heard enough stories of people who were declared beyond hope with brain damage and then came back? I shudder to hear stories of animals, pigs specifically, being genetically modified so that their organs would be deemed transplantable in humans. I'm amazed and maybe a bit frightened when we hear that human cardiac tissue is being grown from skin cells which have been turned into stem cells. Sometimes it seems science is progressing so quickly that ethicists cannot possibly keep up. We do so much to push the bounds of ethics in seeking to create lives and preserve lives and end lives. It's as if we seek to play God. Alas, the more science pushes God out of the equation, the more frightening and uncertain will be our medical ethics and our futures. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Keep yourself tuned in to the Veritas Radio Network for king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. Coming up next, The True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel, serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News, live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on crusadechannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.